Shall we pray? Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. Only for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Beloved, from the readings this morning, we can agree that God calls and uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, isn't it? God calls and uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways. I always enjoyed the stories in the Bible where ordinary people were called by God to do extraordinary things. People like Moses, David, Nehemiah, Esther, the 12 apostles, and the faithful people throughout church history. You see, God chooses and uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. He doesn't necessarily need our ability. Sometimes we fool ourselves, don't we? God doesn't necessarily need our ability, but rather our availability. He uses ordinary people who have nothing of their own to offer, but their faithfulness and willingness to say yes to God. Hallelujah. To say yes to God. Beloved, our God takes pleasure in using ordinary people for extraordinary things so that we know that we serve an extraordinary God. So that we know that we serve an extraordinary God. But sadly, too often we fall into the trap of thinking that God can only use smart, intelligent, highly educated, or powerful people. We fall into the trap. Right? You agree with me? You ask somebody to say a prayer. I can't pray to go on a mission field. I can't go. Who am I? Sadly, we fall into this trap that God can only use smart, intelligent, highly educated, or powerful people. Now, don't get me wrong now. I have a doctorate degree. Sam Furnico has a doctorate degree. We went to fine schools in the country, in the world. Don't get me wrong. God can use highly educated people, highly skillful people to do his work. Before Sam Furnico resigned tomorrow. But my friend, over and over again, from David the shepherd boy to the 12 apostles, God shows us in Holy Scripture that he can use anybody. Hallelujah. God shows us in Holy Scripture that he can use anybody. Anybody. You see, I grew up in a church in Liberia, a very high church, Anglican Episcopal Church, with stained glass window behind the altar where the portrait of the apostles were on all the stained glass window. They were men with haloed over their head, and to me at the time seemed highly spiritual and highly exalted. That was my thinking, my vision of the apostles on the stained glass window. And if you ever went to Europe and visited the cathedrals in Europe, you will see on the stained glass window the apostles, the saints, dehumanized. You think they are mini gods. Friends, the fact of the matter is that the 12 apostles were very, very common men. Very, very ordinary men. Among them was a handful of fishermen. Fishermen those days is equivalent to the common people of our days. A handful of fishermen, a very hated tax collector, and an impulsive political zealot. They were hopelessly human beings. They were hopelessly human beings, remarkably unremarkable. Do the math. Hopelessly human being and remarkably unremarkable. But what's the secret? They were available and obedient to the master call. They were obedient and available to the master call. And under Jesus' teaching and touch, they became a force that will forever change the world. They became a force that will forever change the world. Who were these men? They could not comprehend the power of God like us today. They struggle with their own sin. I beat my breast every time I get ready to preach. They struggle with their own sin. In the process, they found faith. Like many of us in this room, they wrestle with the cost of commitment. And then they discovered influence. And Jesus sent them out for a mission that was too great for them to possibly accomplish. Friends, it is the same call that is on us today. God is still looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. Friends, this morning, God is still looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. Every one of us here this morning should be looking to the Lord for something to do in his kingdom. And we ought to be asking God to honor him with a job too big for us. Are you content with what you're doing? Alpha leader? Is that the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit is in the room. It got who I say that again. Every one of us should be looking to God for something to do in his kingdom. And we ought to be asking God to honor him with a job too big for us. Are we content with what we do here in our various ministry? As Christians, even as clergy, if what we do for the kingdom does not bring us on our knees and say, Lord, without you, I cannot accomplish it, then we're not doing something. We ought to be asking God to give us a job too big for us. Friends, I think it is safe to say that God is still looking for people who know their own insufficiency, not their sufficiency and adequacy. God is still looking for people who know their own insufficiency so well that God can perform the miraculous through us, that God can perform the impossible through us. But many of us become discouraged and disheartened when our spiritual life and witness suffer because of sin or failure. The apostles were in that position. And if you're honest with yourself, you find yourself here every now and then. We tend to think that we are worthless nobody. I've heard it again and again. Christians, we tend to think that we are worthless nobody. And left to ourselves, that's true, isn't it? Left to ourselves, that's true. But worthless nobody are just the kind of people God uses, because that is all that God has to work with, isn't it? That's all God has to work with, the nobodies of the world, the insignificant of the world. Left to ourselves, it is true. But beloved, worthless nobody are just the kind of people God uses, because that is all God has to work with. That's all he has to work with, isn't it? On the other hand, Satan may even attempt to convince us that our shortcomings render us useless to God and to his church. But Jesus' choice of the 12 apostles testified to the fact that God can use the worthless and the unqualified. Look at me. I was born onto two illiterate parents in the remote part of Africa. My parents were illiterate, could not read. And look at me. Friends, let me say that again. God can use the worthless and the unqualified. God can use the nobodies of the world. The nobody of the world. The apostle turned the world upside down. It was not because they were extraordinary people, nor with extraordinary talents, unusual intellectual skills, political influence, or some special social status. They turned the world upside down because God was working through them. Hallelujah. Because God was working through them. You see, God calls the unqualified and qualified the called. God called the unqualified and qualified those who he called. That's the secret, isn't it? You see, God chooses the humble, the lowly, the meek, and the weak so that there's never any question about the source of power when our lives change the world. It is not the person, you see. It is not the bishop and the priests and the wardens. It is not the person. It is the truth of God and the power of God in us, isn't it? So what is the secret? What is the secret for God using common people, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things for him? We see in Acts 4:13, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 13. The religious leader in Israel looked at the 12 apostles and wondered, what in the world is going on with these guys? They look at the 12 apostles and wonder, what in the world is this? These are untrained, uneducated, unskilled people from where? Galilee. Galilee, the nowhere of the world. And the only explanation they could come to, the only answer they could come to, is that these men have spent time with Jesus. Hallelujah. The only answer, the only secret, the only explanation is that these 12 men have spent time with Jesus. Have been with Jesus. Friends, are we spending time with Jesus? Are we spending time in theological book and class and after class and seminar after seminar? Are we spending time with Jesus? You see, my friends, Jesus is the only explanation. He was the only explanation, and he is today the only explanation. The apostles were never the answer, were never the explanation. Jesus had always been the explanation. He is risen. He is risen. He is alive. He is powerful. Friends, and he is working in his church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can never, no, never find the secret to what is going on in God's kingdom by looking at man, by looking at people. We will never. Steve would disappoint you. I would disappoint you. Sam would disappoint you. Man and people would disappoint you. We can never find the secret to the power of the Holy Spirit by looking at man and woman. The power is only found in Jesus Christ. We have to look at the power. And that comes from Jesus. And the only thing that we can do is make sure that we live our lives in such a way that power flows through us. That the power flows through us. And so, my friend, I gave you today the one who is everything we need, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is made to us wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forever, redemption full and sure, and he is all that you need. He is all that we need. Friends, remember that all our demerits, all our shortcomings is no obstacle to our acceptance. God has, by his grace, made it possible for people with no merits like me to enter into the merits of his son, Jesus Christ. That's what the cross and the resurrection tells, isn't it? God has made it possible that people with no merits to enter the merits of his son. When we are weak, then we are strong in him, isn't it? Friends, in this day of glorification of human talent and education and skill, yes, we are grateful for all human ability. They are useful in the kingdom. But we have in this earthly vessel the excellency of Christ, so that he would take the honor and not us. That Christ would take the honor and not us. One last thing before I preach too long. The disciples, when Jesus called them, they dropped everything. When Jesus called the apostle to follow him, they left everything behind. Their nets, their boats, their parents, the tax office, if you were Matthew, etc. With no B plan. With no other B plan. We always find B plans, even in God's kingdom, isn't it? I'm going to quit before I get in trouble. So, my friends, if Jesus could accomplish his purposes through the lives of these 12 ordinary, insignificant men and other people, can we imagine what God has in store for us in his kingdom's work? Can you even imagine? How could God use you individually? You see, God has placed you in your school. If you are young, we have the young people with us this morning. God has placed you in your school, for others in your family, in your neighborhood, to do something extraordinary for him. He is calling us at this very moment. All we have to do is to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Will you make yourself available to him today? Friends, Jesus has a plan, a work to do, a purpose to achieve in history and beyond. He invites us to join him. Are we available? Are we available? What are the obstacles? What are the hindrances, the barriers that are holding us back from being readily available to God's call today? May God help us to overcome those obstacles and to answer yes. Amen.